CliffCentral.com.
That's right. No more bullshit. Morning, everybody. Yeehaw. I'm full of energy today. Full of good vibes. Feeling positive. Something's happened to our sound here. It sounds pretty good. Have they been fiddling with stuff? Does anybody know this for a fact?
Well, there was lightning about over the weekend.
Oh, the lightning could have reset. God could love us again.
And then Steve was hanging around with things yesterday.
Steve was?
Yeah.
Okay, hang on. Let me just get this right now. Now the mix is all screwed up. I spoke too soon. I knew it was too good to be true. that's better. Hello, Mubs.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
I'm delighted to hear it. How are you, Ben? How's your back?
Yeah, on the road to recovery, Gareth.
It's
the road is long, though.
Ben was basically crawling around on all fours last week. He was a mess.
Yeah, I wasn't reenacting a Britney Spears music video. I was just in pain.
Mm. No, you were struggling and suffering. In the worst way. It just looked horrible. And you know the thing about back pain is it's so debilitating. Because it affects everything.
Yep.
You can't move arms, legs, head. It's all a disaster. Did you get any sex over the weekend?
Towards the latter stages after many, many painkillers.
What's up? What's wrong?
Ben sounds like a mouse. It's so soft.
Talk to me, Ben.
Hello, Gareth. Is that better?
Yeah, there's something soft about your microphone. Hang on, let me just turn that up. Jeez, this thing's at a gain of 22. Someone's been messing with settings here.
Let me just tech support.
Well, Flex, let's just see if I can't pump it up here for the meantime. I don't want to get tech support here at 6:05. Just leave it for now. All right. So you said yes?
Yeah, is my mic working again?
Yeah, it is.
It even sounds strange in my ears.
Sorry. Yeah. It looks...
Monday too. Let's move on.
All right. Anyway, anybody, thanks for handling the show, guys, while I was away yesterday. I was at a wedding in Stellenbosch, which was beautiful. And, you know, normally I don't make any effort for weddings for people. You know, I don't... I'm increasingly getting curmudgeonly and difficult. And for me to actually get up and do something for anyone, even for myself, is a major strain. I would rather just stay at home and do as little as possible. But this was a really, really special wedding. It was we had the bachelor's party on Friday, and then I caught up with a whole lot of my friends in Stellenbosch on Saturday, and then we went to this wedding on Sunday. And I saw a lot of people there that I, you know, really just cool people that I haven't seen in a long time. It was just nice to hang out with real friends, and, you know, it was special. It's also, I've got to say, like, there is a small, tiny portion of my heart that is dedicated to the idea that two people really could spend the rest of their time together.
Yeah, it's a great idea.
And it's special. I like that. So Valentine's Day wedding, and, you know, it was just a happy thing to be a part of. And I'm very pleased I did it. But thanks for holding down the fort. And have I missed anything? Is there anything I need to know?
So much.
What have I missed? Come on, fill me in.
Well, there's CS Love Life, which is just off the hook at the moment.
Really?
Michael's moving in with his girlfriend.
You what?
Yeah.
In one day, all of this has happened.
Yes.
Hold on. Whoa.
I had to play Careless Whisper just to kind of maintain Sia's, like, smolderingness.
Hold on. What is going on here? Let's start with you, Sia. What's happening with you?
Ben got a bit too excited. More excited than me.
Were you hitting on a guest?
No, it wasn't a guest this time.
Groundwork's done, Gareth. He's now reaping the rewards.
No, not even. He's out of the city again, so I'm just kind of over it.
Is this the guy?
Gate. That's all.
Oh, but this is not the guy who you hit on.
That was let's not go down my track record.
Here. No. Not that guy who was on the buzz 2 weeks ago.
No.
You sure?
I'm certain.
All right. Who's this dude? Do we know him? Is he famous?
No, you don't. He's a Mr. Right now. Not Mr. Right.
You don't say that.
Yes, you do.
Oh, no, you don't.
He was in the... Sure. Only saw him once. Was here for the weekend.
Oh, okay. So there's nothing serious here.
No, not even.
All right, I believe you.
Thank you.
Of course I believe you. You don't lie.
Sorry, Ben. not about to run like in a field of daisies.
Hey, I don't need Mary Poppins' Sound of Music here. I just want you to be happy, Sia.
Now, what is this? What it says about you moving out of your mother's nest? This is unheard of.
It may have
flexes.
It may have all crumbled down yesterday after the show.
I thought so.
So I went to hell yesterday.
What happened?
After the show, I left early because my stomach was really bad. I was in so much pain. I go to the doctor. He can't take me. Mm-hmm. He's too full for a Monday because everyone gets sick over the weekend, doesn't want to pay weekend rates,
right.
Goes on a Monday.
Right.
Can't go to the doctor yesterday. So I go straight home. Get home. My domestic is crying.
Why?
I go to Maria. Maria, what's wrong? Why are you crying? The neighbor has now racially abused her.
Oh, shit.
She shouted at her. Told her to go back in the house.
Oh, my God.
So I'm like, Maria, I've heard enough. I'll go sort it out. I go to my study. I get my cricket bat.
Oh, wow.
I go to the neighbor's door.
Yeah?
I knock on it.
Do you know this neighbor, by the way?
No, I don't know any of my neighbors. I couldn't give a who they are.
Yeah. Right.
Go to the door with the cricket bat. I knock with the cricket bat like 3 times hard. I'm ready for something like, I want to have like an argument. Then... like, he says something, I give him a little push, he pushes me,
pushing. Oh, it got physical straight away.
No, this is what I wanted. Like, and then he pushes me too hard and I just whack him over the head with the cricket bat.
Right. Very aggressive, by the way.
No, my past hit me yesterday, like I was angry.
You were an angry fat child again, yeah.
Knock on the door, neighbor comes to open. Maria didn't tell me the neighbor was 80 years old, so I couldn't do anything.
Was it a woman or a man?
It was a man.
80-year-old.
80-year-old. So I just...
so what did you do? Hide the cricket bat?
Nothing.
Sir.
I told her, listen, you can't speak to Maria like that. I'm going to sort it out with body corporate. No, him.
Okay.
You can't speak to Maria like that. And I had a meeting with body corporate last night.
Oh, wow.
My neighbor's now forbidden to speak to Maria.
You've escalated this.
Yeah, disgusting, my neighbor. And then I'm supposed to move in with my girlfriend. We're supposed to go look at a place yesterday.
But then who's going to defend Maria?
No, this neighbor's now forbidden to speak. If she speaks to Maria, she can get kicked out of the complex.
He.
Wow.
You're very confusing.
So, I'm supposed to go look at a place last night, even sign a lease last night.
Uh-oh.
I decide to look at the place on Facebook.
Yeah.
Apparently now this place, all the like flats there are getting broken into. Some woman was tied up.
But you've already signed a lease.
No, I was going to last night. Some woman got tied up while some other robbers were robbing another place. She witnessed it. And then they came and took her and tied her up in the place.
So, in other words, this is like Sodom and Gomorrah where you're going to move.
I don't know what that is. But it's proper like war zone there now.
Yeah, Sodom and Gomorrah.
So
just craziness.
Now, that beautiful place I was going to move into, I can no longer go.
Mm, shit. So you got to stick around, huh?
Proper hell yesterday.
Reva must be pleased.
I don't think she knows. I've kept her out of the loop on this one.
Let me tell you something. Your mother discovers that you were going to sign a lease and move out without talking to her about it. That's the end of prepared meals for you. Oh, she'll catch you. You know, she's got control of the flow of finances as well, right?
I know. That's what I'm worried about.
You better be very... just step very carefully around her.
Every time I think of signing this lease, I remember I have a mommy and me card.
Yeah.
And that can be cut off at any time.
Mommy and me card.
Oh. Michael, don't you always think that every time I want to be an adult, I want to get rid of the mommy and me card?
No,
that doesn't make it sound like. I mean, it sounds like you're still wearing nappies, mommy and me.
Just because you were raised by wolves, Ben. Ben was basically tossed out onto the fields around his parents' house when he was about 4.
Yeah.
And forced to fend for himself, digging for grubs and things under rocks. He did, and he survived. And it's just as well, because if you hadn't survived, your parents would have beaten you.
That's why I just battled to sort of, you know, relate with mommy and me-ness.
Yeah, I know. Ben doesn't even know. He thinks that mommy and me card is a nonsense thing that you made up. He can't imagine a world where people would do that.
I think more people need to do it.
What, mommy and me cards?
Yeah, it's a little bonding thing.
Well, certainly I would agree that there are probably lots of parents in South Africa who could definitely get more involved with their children's lives, but there are also those parents who get over-involved with their children's lives. You know why I don't have an opinion on that in particular?
Have children.
Well, exactly. And if I do, I get told by parents to shut up. So I do. No, I just shut up. I don't give anyone advice on parenting. And in any case, it's none of my business. Everybody's going to raise their children as badly as they can. Well, that's how it turns out. None of my business, as I said. Listen, there's lots to talk about this morning. You're not going to believe the story. Griff, you know, he does the who stands in occasionally for TG Squared. Griff, big American dude who comes in. He is good friends with Trevor and Nina and everybody else in TG Squared. And he's a very famous comedian from Atlanta, Georgia. So he called me yesterday evening and told me a story that you will not believe. But I'm going to let him tell you himself later on.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
Good or bad?
Oh, it's just unbelievable.
Knock your socks off.
No, it's just crazy. I mean, you know, Valentine's Day just happened. What's the most famous thing in South Africa on Valentine's Day?
Suicide. Death.
Oscar Pistorius.
Oh.
Right. It's got to do with him.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh.
Wait till you hear it from... I'm not gonna let the cat out of the bag yet. But Griff has got a story. You'll just be amazed. Trust me. Speaking of death on Valentine's Day and all the rest, how were those Blood Sisters on Friday? Huh?
They were amazing.
Weren't they interesting?
What an amazing interview.
And such hardcore women. They just... Nothing scares them.
No bat of an eyelid.
Nothing.
It's just another day at the office.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being at the McDonald's drive-thru, though, when they pull in? And they're in
with
the car.
With a body van. I drove out behind them because I had to rush to the airport. And they've got this bucky with crime scene cleanup. And then these two women in the front of this bucky. It looks very intimidating.
Of course.
They followed me through two robots, and I was just trying to shake them off my tail. So it was a bad omen.
I felt bad as they were walking out. So they were like, okay, cheers. And they patted me on the back. I was like, how many, like, blood DNA samples are now on my back?
No, they wash themselves. They're not complete animals.
Who's random, like...
I loved that story. The one... And by the way, if you haven't heard this interview, go and listen to it. The one blood sister, Raline, says... When we were talking about how what happens when a body's been lying in a flat for 6 months, she goes, it's like someone's emptied a wheelbarrow of mints. Oh. You imagine how much I felt like mince after that? Not at all.
But like their sense of smell must be so heightened because they smell things that we don't ever
Unreal.
Come in contact with.
No, unbelievable. So listen, there's lots of funny stuff going on in American politics, and we're going to get our friend Warren Holstein to also tell us what he thought of the State of the Nation, our president's State of the Nation.
All right, because last time you said you must have a look at our president.
Correct. We told him to just pay attention there, and he's going to. But I thought I'd play you this quickly. Where is this damn thing? For some reason, I put clips onto this machine, and then they don't come through properly. I'll find it for you just now. But basically, we've got a clip of the president. Yet again, his speechwriters have not been listening to us. They have got to write out words. This guy can't get words right.
Numbers.
I mean numbers, sorry. I was going to say, no one was going to correct me.
Uh-oh.
And we've got to help him to... We've got to write out the words for each number. 476,029. So that he knows... Because he mustn't have to do that. Did you see the size of the font with the State of the Nation? Everybody was talking about that this weekend as well.
Now, what does that say? Does that say he's old and his eyesight is going? Does that say his reading isn't really up to par? Does that say we should just give up on him? Or excuse him for what he's done?
Hey, to each his own. I'm not going to suggest what you should and shouldn't do with the president. But, you know, the guy's he really is on the downhill slope now. Without a doubt. His power is on the wane. The way he was interrupted, we spoke to Justice about this on Friday, and the way he was interrupted, the way that State of the Nation started and went on for an hour, you could just see a man whose power had slipped away from him.
Mm.
Very interesting. Avi sent me a song about him, actually. Avi from America sent this. It's a famous Zuma song that he found and thought we might like it. Do you want to hear it?
Sure.
Here it is. And then he goes into a Bollywood song, eventually. So it's got a bit of Indian influence.
And we are not going to leave here before we get an answer. When are you paying the money?
I've never dodged questions in this parliament. Pay back the money. My friend name is very nice and simple. Zuma. 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 Very simple. So they like pronouncing it all the time. What's the problem? Zuma. Zuma. What's your problem? Really? What is your problem? Zuma. Zuma.
Zuma pesa dede.
Okay.
Zuma pesa dede. Zuma. Zuma pesa dede.
Isn't that funny? It's like a Bollywood song mixed with the president's laughter, and it works really well. I like it. You like it? Something about Zuma's thing, yeah. Okay, but here's the clip that I wanted to play you, because this is also the thing that I thought was pretty funny. Is after all of this, the president still is getting these numbers wrong. Still this song. Awful. But thanks for sending that to us, Avi. Here, listen to this.
Is to introduce 9,600 megawatts.
He's talking about power, the nuclear power. He couldn't get 9,600 megawatts right. 9,600 megawatts. Again, for your pleasure.
Is to introduce 9,600 megawatts.
Oh, man.
There's someone who actually screams again in the background there. That's exactly what we're all thinking.
Okay. Yeah. Anybody watch The Walking Dead?
Is it back? I had no idea.
Wow, Mavali, do we have to give you shock therapy to get you to talk this morning?
Sorry.
What's going on with you?
I'm sorry. I'm busy finding stories on the internet.
Oh, all right. Well, you know. If you just tell me, I'm going to switch your microphone on. Jeez, I'm going to be like picking teeth.
So it's the new what? Because they all go on that holiday season, right?
I haven't seen it yet. I was meant to watch The Walking Dead last night and I didn't get to it, but I'm going to watch it today. I usually record these things, and then I watch them when I have some time. And last night I just was not up to it. I was pretty tired. Got into bed. And passed the hell out. I mentioned I've got this new system.
Uh-huh.
At home. I switch off every light so that I'm in complete darkness. And then I sleep much better than when there are lights on. I used to have one or two lights in the, you know, in the corner of the room or whatever. And I'd fall asleep, but I would wake up at funny times. And then if that light gets into your eyes, you just can't go back to sleep.
True.
So it's better to have complete darkness all around you. Then you don't have to worry about that stuff.
Well, what did you have before? Did you have certain lights, like safety lights you had on?
No, not safety. I like a lamp that I'd leave on in the corner of the room just to give a little bit of light so you'd see your way around or whatever, you know? Hmm. What? It's like a standing lamp.
Say it's Ben.
What's the problem?
No, it's just...
You find that odd?
It is. Who doesn't sleep in darkness? That is very odd.
I never have slept in complete darkness. I mean, not since I was a kid.
But did that come from some sort of Tokolosh story that you're not telling us about?
Tokolosh story. All right, so here's Lindsay saying, did you watch The Walking Dead last night? So, so good. Okay, thanks, Lindsay. That means I've got to watch it now. Chris says, morning, Garrett. Speaking of tired 80-year-olds, awesome interview on yesterday's show. We had Natey Kirsch on. Do you know this guy is a self-made billionaire in dollars? I mean, it's just unbelievable. Yeah. What an incredible success story this guy is. He was born in Potchefstroom. Mm. You know, still married to the woman he met in Potchefstroom all those years ago. Lives some of the year in New York, some of the year in London, some of the year in South Africa. I mean, billions.
Oof.
Not millions, billions. And all of it is his application of his own brain to business. There are just some people who have a business skill. I mean, he said in the interview to him, some people are born with this talent. And he said, yep, can't disagree with you. Some things you can't learn. I think if you're going to be a huge commercial success like that, you just have a talent. There's nothing anyone can teach you.
I just have to paraphrase my favorite line from the interviews when he goes, yeah, you know, the truth is, I'm rich.
I'm rich, yeah. Love the guy.
Love
but also, you know, it's a combination of the fact that he really is and the combination of the fact that he's 84 years old. And he just doesn't have to impress anybody anymore. He could care less. Mm. If he upsets people along the way, screw them.
But I was just saying to everyone yesterday, it's kind of almost depressing hearing that because it makes you realize what you actually have to do to become so super rich. You've got to be so driven. Like, you can't ever you can't have downtime, really.
No. And you don't ever stop.
I was always pushing.
You never stop. We always think, oh, well, you know, one day I'll retire and I'll just relax and do very little. Or maybe one day I'll get to 60 years old and I'll stop working. Then you will not be a success. He only started making his fortune in his 50s. I mean, he made a fortune before then and lost it.
Wow.
Then he went back in and started again at 54 or whatever it was and did it all again. And that's where he made the serious money. So forget about this idea of just lying down somewhere and not doing anything. You'll never, ever get anywhere.
Yeah, the whole retirement thing, it's a broken model. You should never think that way.
Speaking of broken models, you know, we've been talking a lot in the last couple of weeks about how Twitter is just this horrible place. Well, Stephen Fry, who is probably one of the cleverest people I've ever heard on any topic, has written a piece. It's a short piece that I'll read to you quickly about Twitter and how disgusting it's become because he's decided to withdraw from Twitter. Now, if you've ever heard Stephen Fry speak, he has such an erudite... He's one of the most articulate, beautiful speakers you'll ever encounter. Every single word is delivered with a polish and a plumb.
Also with a fine balance, too, because he seems to be so right. Not like he's got a couple of good ideas, he just nails things.
Now, you'll remember Stephen Fry is most famous for saying, "You're offended, so what?" That's kind of his line. And here's what he says about Twitter, and tell me if this applies to you and Twitter at the moment of it. Because it certainly, for me, it was like I was reading the gospel. Are you ready? He goes, this is yesterday's blog post. "It's no big deal, as it shouldn't be. But yes, for anyone interested, I have indeed deactivated my Twitter account. I've left Twitter before, of course. Many people have time off from it, whether they're in the public eye or not. Think of it not much more than leaving a room. I like to believe I haven't slammed the door, much less stalked off in a huff, throwing my toys out of the pram as I go, or however you'd phrase it. It's quite simple, really. The room started to smell really quite bad." Now, Mubs, you've said this before. You've got to get off these social media sites because they are poisonous. He says, "Oh, goodness, what fun Twitter was in the early days. A secret bathing pool in a magical glade in an enchanted forest. It was glorious to turn as swimmers into cleanness leaping. We frolicked and water-bombed and sometimes in the moonlight skinny-dipped. We chatted and laughed and put the world to rights and shared thoughts that were sacred, silly, and profane. But now the pool is stagnant. It is frothy with scum, clogged with weeds, and littered with broken glass, sharp rocks, and slimy rubbish. If you don't watch yourself, with every move you'll end up being gashed, broken, bruised, or contused. Even if you negotiate the sharp rocks, you'll soon feel that too many people have peed in the pool for you to want to swim there anymore. The fun is over."
But the reason that this happened, this all started because at the BAFTA Awards ceremony, he made a comment about one of the costume design winners, Jenny Beaven, and he made a remark about her appearance as she left the stage. Stephen Fry said, "Only one of the great cinematic costume designers would come to an award ceremony dressed as a bag lady." And then, of course, Twitter exploded, and they took him down like a pack of lions that take down a springbok. And then he also then decided to fight back on Twitter, and then the whole thing just became too much of a mess. The Blood Sisters were called in to clean the crime scene, and now Stephen Fry has left Twitter. That's how this all happened.
Listen to how he finishes this. This is just beautiful. He goes, "To leave that metaphor, let us grieve at what Twitter has become. A stalking ground for the sanctimoniously self-righteous who love to second guess, to leap to conclusions, and be offended. Worse, to be offended on behalf of others they do not even know. It's as nasty and unwholesome a characteristic as can be imagined. Doesn't matter whether they think they're defending men, women, transgender people, Muslims, humanists. The ghastliness is absolutely the same. It makes sensible people want to take an opposite point of view. I've heard people shriek their secularism in such a way as to make me instantly want to become an evangelical Christian. But Stephen, these foul people are a minority. Indeed they are. But I would contend that just one turd in a reservoir is enough to persuade one not to drink from it. 99.9% of the water may be excrement-free, but that doesn't help. With Twitter, for me at least, the tipping point has been reached and the pollution of the service is now just too much. But you've let the trolls and the nasty people win. If everyone did what you did, Stephen, the slab-faced dictators of tone and humor would have the place to themselves. Well, yes, and they're welcome to it. Perhaps they'll have nothing to smell but their own smell. So I don't feel anything today other than massive relief, like a boulder rolling off my chest. I am free, free at last." Here, here. I'm thinking of deactivating my Twitter today in solidarity. And because I completely agree with everything he says in that piece. Isn't that great?
Uh-oh.
Yep. We've got it. If you are a good person, you'll eventually be off Twitter. I reckon we've got another 3 months before it becomes absolutely untenable on there. Every day you open up, there's some new outrage, some new thought police movement. It's a disgrace.
Yeah, I've got a story in that.
You have?
Yep.
We'll get to it later?
Yeah, it's in the sport.
Oh, very good. Okay. I was worried it was going to be something that you needed more time for, but you can fit it into the sport.
Yeah, it's part of the sport.
Very good. All right, listen, we've got to get cracking with sport. We've got Anthea. We've got lots of good stuff for you this morning. It is cliffcentral.com on a Tuesday morning.
You're boarding a plane in 2 hours, and you're looking forward to Sin City. Your girlfriend, however, has her heart set on Rome. You love her dearly, and let's be honest, she totally wears the pants. So you load up Rome Season 2 on your laptop in the departures lounge. But by the time you get to Cape Town, you're demanding she plays The Good Wife. Because with Showmax for 99 Rand a month, you get to watch the best series and movies online anytime. So get to showmax.com and get your 7-day free trial.
I patiently waited for you for 9 months. I would sit in my chair and talk about how I longed to meet you. I knew you'd be the most beautiful baby in the world. I was ready for you, but I wasn't ready for this. If you have a child in need of reconstructive surgery, Smile Foundation can help you. Visit www.smilefoundation.co.za or call us on 0861 276 453.
All right, Ben's got some sport for us. Let's get into it. Sorry, Ben. I had your mic off for a second there. Go on.
Okay. Yeah, Champions League is back. Now, we've had all the different leagues from around the world just carrying on, but the Champions League is the real big deal. So if we can all get over the fact that Messi passed the ball to Suarez to score a penalty, let's proceed with this week's Champions League fixtures.
Right.
Paris Saint-Germain, they'll take on Chelsea. This is tonight, and this is at 9:45 South African time. Now, Paris Saint-Germain are favourites here. They've got a good side. Mm-hmm. Chelsea have become what's known as a sticky team. You know you can beat them, but things could get a bit sticky. Now, Chelsea just had a huge win, the biggest win of the season over Newcastle. It's 5-1 drubbing of the black and white team. So they're going to feel quite confident, but they go to the Parc de Princes. Sorry, Parc de Princes. It's the other stadium. And, yeah, it should be a good game. It really is. John Terry won't be making this one. And, well, people say that he is the immovable rock in the defense there, but I think it's not always the worst case if he isn't there. And then later on, Benfica will take on Zenit St. Petersburg. Now, the weather is so bad in St. Petersburg, they take a bit of a winter break. Now, this is the only unbeaten team in the Champions League reckoning in the group stages when they qualified. So Benfica is going to be the underdogs there, very much so. You've got to look at Zenit St. Petersburg to do the business there. They had such a good run in to get the qualifications. And then tomorrow we've got Ghent versus Wolfsburg and Roma versus Real Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's Champions League. So it's always nice to have that sort of spicing up the football. All the real other big teams that will take place next week. There's matches on Tuesday the 23rd and Wednesday the 24th. Now, we'll get more into how the English Premier League is going to break down. Of course, Leicester aren't playing any of this European stuff. So when you look at the kind of breakdown of the teams vying for the title there, then Leicester haven't got any of these distractions of having to go play midweek somewhere against seriously tough competition. But in the meantime, let's get on to cricket, because the T20 series starts this week. Right. And the reason that T20 is important right now is because the World Cup is coming up next month. So England...
That's the T20 World Cup.
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure, because I know we had one last year.
Yeah, that was the ODI one. Huh. So England are still here. Some of them have been here since the middle of December, and it must be getting very, very tedious for them now. So a couple of new players come in for the T20 team. Sam Billings, a right-handed batsman, he'll be in the mix. Liam Plunkett, you'll see him. He is a right-arm bowler. And then you'll get a guy called... Jamie Vince. I have no idea who this guy is, but he does a bit of everything. And that will be the sort of new faces for the T20 team. England will play a little warm-up match in Pal on, well, I say warm-up, but I mean it's just another match that they're going to just throw the B-teamer into. That'll take place on Wednesday. But the first T20 will take place in Cape Town on Friday. That is a day-night match. And then the second one will be here in Johannesburg. It's a daytime game. That'll start at 2:30. There's lots to be taken out of this T20 series, and then the Aussies come here afterwards to play even more T20s. So it'll be quite interesting to see what's going to be the SA sort of first choice 11, how different it will be from the one-day team, and if we'll see Farhan Behar in.
Sounds good.
Talking about Twitter, I mean, there we go. There's outrage. Right. Whatever this guy plays.
Dan Retief is in trouble, right?
Yes, that kind of just takes into our next story. So there's been, like... The whole thing about cricket South Africa is they're the only ones that really come out and said, right, we need black Africans, we need non-whites in numbers like this, and in a franchise level, it really is quite strict. So getting into the Proteas team, and there's always this dynamic of, okay, well, these guys can play, but that guy can't play because there's too many whites, and then these guys must play, but then he must play because he's a black African. So there's all these other little riddles of race that go around this team, right? So Dan Retief...
Sounds like HF Pavut's wildest fantasies come true.
Yeah, so Dan Retief, suck it in. You know, in cricket...
Now, who is Dan Retief again? Just let us know.
Dan Retief is a sort of very experienced and well-respected journalist in South Africa. He's written books, he's done various things on TV. He's a good writer, he definitely knows his stuff. But now he's been suck it in to a bit of a Twitter trap here, in that he mentions something about race.
Oh, Jesus.
Now, Dan, you can prove... Well, claim naivety all you want, but you know you can't just throw this stuff away like flippant remarks. So basically he said that SA was carried to victory by two white Afrikaners. Politicians and media commentators take note for what it's worth.
Mm.
I don't see the upside of this tweet. I mean, people are going to say, yeah, Dan, that's clever. Or, yeah, that's pretty funny.
So what did the social justice warriors do?
Well, the usual, okay, so...
Did they string him up? Did they burn him? Did they stick nails through his hands and feet?
Attacked him like many people were saying he's a dumb Afrikaner. There was a lot of farmer kind of references towards how he should get fucked. So it got really messy, but the interesting thing that came from here is that Cricket South Africa has actually responded to this. Yep. Now, Haroon Logat, he said, this is insensitive and extremely disappointing. And AB de Villiers has conveyed a message to him, basically making out how his great displeasure that this tweet has caused this African team. Now, anyone who understands the game of cricket, and the Proteas in particular, will know that yesterday's victory, Sunday's victory...
Is this AB speaking now?
Well, this is Haroon Logat echoing AB's sentiments.
All right.
And indeed, the series victory was made possible by a great team effort. We are privileged and very proud to have a diverse squad of players that play as one. It goes on all kinds of other players, one kind of cliches. But, like, again, people feel the need to say things on Twitter. Like, we're all guilty at some stage or another, but you've got to pick your battles. There's no upside to having these stupid racist tweets. That's because it's seen as a racist.
You know what?
Whether you're racist or not, you've poked the racist bear here.
Let me tell you something. It's not just race. It's when you say something mean about Chris Jenner or Caitlyn Jenner, whatever his name is. By the way, is he changing it back to... What is that, is that a bullshit story? I mean, what's going on there?
Yeah, so officially, no, she is staying as Caitlyn.
Okay, because I read a story that Caitlyn wants to go back to being a man the other day, and I thought, that asshole. But it turns out she does want to stay a woman.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, you could say anything you like, but can I tell you something? It's not worth sharing your opinion on Twitter anymore. It's just not. I read that Stephen Fry thing. You should go and read it again. In fact, we should all print it out like the Constitution and put it on the wall of our respective business places and homes so that we can read it over and over again and realize that Twitter is no longer the place where we can share opinion.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, even if your opinion is completely right or completely wrong, it's got nothing to do with it. You're going to be taken down by an angry, howling, rancorous mob. They're going to tear you limb from limb, and it's not worth it. Stay away.
Well, Dan Retief then went on to apologize, which CSA has noted. That's just so nice of
thanks,
CSA.
Thanks, CSA, yeah.
He said, "Hi all, I unreservedly apologize if I have upset you.
Yeah.
It was a ham-handed way to enter the essay dissertation."
Something like that. You know what we've got to do?
We're all one people, sorry.
We just got to also stop apologizing to each other, because actually, if your feelings get hurt, too bad. How about that for a thought from this Tuesday morning? Oh, you shame. The world is hard. Life is going to be tough. Well, there's a lesson you could learn early on and do well from. Thank you. All this is doing is hardening people. That's all.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Enough. There must be other sport that's worth talking about.
Well, Gareth, there is. There is the Varsity Cup Rugby. This is not something we talk about a hell of a lot, but there's some interesting dynamics at play here. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I told you how you can get different points for different kinds of tries that you score, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's just look at a game that happened last night between Tucks, that's the Pretoria team, mm-hmm. made famous by Noah Sporta, and the Shimless, which are the... It's not a skin infection. That is an actual defending champion team, that is. They're from University or the Free State.
All right.
Team. So the Shimlers were 43-15 down after 43 minutes, right? Now, let's just look at that in the context of rugby. That is a huge, huge thrashing so far. The first half's obviously gone the way of the home team. Can Shimlers come back into it? Well, you're going to think probably no, because there's no ways that a team can then lose so many points in a short space of time. Sure, it's the second half to go, but that is a huge points margin. Final score, Tucks 46, Shimlers 47. So, yes, they did come back. And a lot of it comes down to this whole 9-point try availability. So you can score tries of various denominations. If you start in your own 22, obviously you're going to score a lot more points than you start in the opposition 22.
Mm-hmm.
So these things are so much more available now, so which means every game is still live right till the end. But there's been some detractors from this whole system. A friend of mine on Twitter made a very good point that if you're 8 points down and you're in the opposition 22, the game's lost, right? But if you get a penalty, what are you going to do with that kick? Are you going to kick it backwards to your own 22 so you can try run from your own 22, therefore throwing
up more points.
60 meters of field position in order to get more points? So you think, like, is that really in the spirit of the game? Is that a good thing? Or is it like, okay, well, that's just making the most of innovation? People are kind of, like, divided on how these things are working at the moment.
It's strategic, right?
Well, of course it is. It's strategic, it's within the new rules, and it makes a lot of sense. But then, for a team to go backwards in rugby just seems silly. But if it gets you 9 points and you're down by 8,
sure,
that's just you making the most of the rules. So we'll see how it goes. We need a full season of this to really work out. We need more game examples. Now, the thing you take out here is that a one-sided match suddenly turned into an even contest with a thrilling, thrilling comeback and an amazing scoreline of 46-47.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at the positive, and then we can become more critical as the season progresses. Now, NMMU, they lost to Marties. Marties are always a very strong team in this tournament. They were 25-27 to the Stellenbosch team there. Tucks, we just had that one. CUT beat UCT 10-9, and Pukka, they lost to UJ 31-36.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not a particularly good weekend or week for the home team.
I flew back on Mango. It's the weirdest thing. I booked an SAA, but they flew me back in Mango. And I saw the...
What a cheek.
There were two very, very sexy-looking women up front. What do you call them now? Cabin crew? Because you can't call them stewardesses, right? Air hostesses? What are they called?
No,
it's called air hostesses.
Cabin crew. Cabin crew. You can't call them air hostesses anymore. Apparently
what?
That's a politically incorrect term or something.
Very offensive.
So they were wearing Varsity Cup badges is the point. I didn't know that Mango were involved in Varsity Cup, but there.
Well, they're probably an official flyer.
Okay.
But there's two parts of the story I don't understand, because that's a massive step down if you booked SAA, and secondly, there's never any ever attractive air hostesses.
No, they really were. Two of them. Two.
Are you sure they weren't in the netball team and they were just wearing...
No, they were both... Really hot. Very distracting. I sat there and the whole thing, I didn't even go to sleep and I was tired. Yeah. It was good to be awake and be alive at that moment.
Yeah, so that's pretty much your sport. There's not much happening on today. There's rumors of Platini wanting to fight FIFA, but that's an old story that just keeps being rehashed.
All right.
There's some T20 rumblings with the IPL happening quite soon. And then, of course, people are just still gushing over the Proteas 3-2 victory in the ODI series, which they're entitled to. Mm. That was a tremendous come-from-behind victory, that. And Saru's CEO, well, he's dodgy as all hell.
Is he?
Well, Gareth says there's 32 million rand that he might need to pay back.
Isn't that to Stellenbosch University?
Yeah, because there was a bursary scheme that no one knew about, and there was money being misappropriated. Anyway, so he has to appear in front of the Western Cape High Court. And if Saru wants to suspend him, it's going to cost them 15 million rand. So this guy's got himself into such a dodgy situation where he's actually in the best situation. He might have stolen money, but he might pay it back. But if he then gets suspended on ethical matters, which he's clearly fallen foul of, he still stands to make huge amounts of money.
See, crime pays.
The good never prosper in this world.
No. If you're good, you're screwed.
Yeah. If you're good, you're poor.
You have to learn to be an asshole 24/7 if you want to be a success. And that just goes against my grain. I'm almost thinking it should rather be a question of, okay, I'm happy to be poor, than to sell your soul just so that you can have money. Because all these people who do seem to me to be rotten.
Yeah.
Certainly when it comes to stuff to do with administration of sport. All right, let's move on. There's lots of other ways to get ahead, and one of them is by listening to Anthea Gardner, right? If there's anyone who can tell you how the markets work, whether we should be positive and optimistic about them at the moment or not, then it's Anthea. And even if you don't have anything to be positive about, she can certainly help you understand it a little better. And that's not saying too much.
She works hard for the money.
Because she works hard for the money.
So hard for
it, honey.
She was hard for the money, so you better drink her life.
Good morning, Anthea. How are we?
Good morning, Gareth. We're in a very good mood.
Really?
The markets are being very kind to us at the moment. Yesterday, the Aussie was up 2.6%. We had about $1.4 billion traded. And at close, the rand was 15.81 to the dollar.
Hmm.
And on top of that, I see this morning it's strengthened a bit more to 15.71 to the dollar.
Ooh.
I know, all very exciting. It's about 17.53 to the euro and 22.70 to the pound.
Now, I've got to go to America in, what, 2-3 weeks from now? Should I buy dollars today?
That's actually probably a really good idea.
Hmm. Okay. I'm onto it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
All right.
There wasn't much in the way of company news. Impala Platinum released a statement saying it expected half-year profits to fall by about 20% because of, obviously, the lower rand spot price of platinum.
Mm-hmm.
But even that, the share closed 68 basis points higher yesterday. Obviously, in the scenario, though, when the world's okay, gold falls. So yesterday, the spot price of gold fell 2.6%. Gold shares completely fell out of bed, of course. Harmony was down 10%.
Ooh.
Yeah.
But we knew that was going to happen, right?
Yes, and we know how volatile these shares are. These resource shares are very volatile at the moment. I mean, daily moves of in the teens, that's unheard of, quite frankly.
Yeah, I was worried up to Friday last week because it was a steady decline on the entire market, and I thought, ugh, this even being in the market is just no good. And I know you corrected me already last week with some empirical evidence. But I did feel that if we didn't have a turn soon, a lot of people would just start becoming very disillusioned. And, you know, sentiment matters in the markets, right?
Absolutely, yes. And do you know, one of the things that sentiment is affecting quite badly at the moment are the European banks. I don't know if you've been watching them at all, but last week, sort of Deutsche Bank was trading, I think it was almost half its book value or something. And in the last 2 weeks, European banks have lost 25%. Deutsche Bank really leading this loss. The concern there is not that the banks are undercapitalized like they were in 2008 or 2009, but rather that the global slowdown in growth will affect their ability to make profits. Although I say that, but in Italy, I think it's slightly different. They're more worried about the bad debt numbers, but generally speaking in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of the big banks, Deutsche Bank, SocGen, they really are under a lot of pressure. And then, in fact, Mario Draghi yesterday, who's the president of the ECB, he made a statement saying, please don't panic. Our banks are well capitalized. We'll be fine.
Sure.
So I actually think if I was trading Europe right now, I'd be buying some European banks. I think they're due a little bounce.
Okay.
Our bank certainly bounced yesterday. Barclays was up 7%.
Was that the leader in terms of
the banking, our banking stocks, our local banking stocks, yeah. So okay. BGA, Barclays Group Africa, I should say.
Now, if that if that happens to Barclays, does it stand to reason that it happens to all the other banks as well?
Yes, Standard Bank and First Rand were up about 5% yesterday.
Hmm.
And I think Barclays was up slightly more only because it's been under a bit more pressure. People are concerned about what's happening. So, you know, all this talk about Barclays selling out of South Africa for all sorts of reasons that they might get. What's the word I'm looking for, Gareth? I always forget this word. When we take property and put it in government hands.
They might be nationalized.
Nationalized, right. Mm-hmm. But I think that Barclays was under pressure or are thinking of selling off Africa because of what's happening in Europe and because of the slower growth. I think they're just looking after themselves. I think they want cash so that they can remain capitalized. The big thing about banks is you always want to ensure that they are stable. You know, banks really are the core of the financial sector.
Right.
So there's more to it than just the one story of being nationalized.
Do you think these banks will continue to improve in terms of their stock values?
I think this is such a difficult one because in a rising interest rate environment, banks do particularly well. So in South Africa, we are now definitely in a rising interest rate cycle.
Mm-hmm.
But in a slower economy, banks do worse because obviously the consumer can't afford to pay back the loans that they've already made with the banks and growth is slow. And so there's not much activity in the financial sector. So I'm watching carefully. I like our banks. I really do believe we've got world-class banks, First Rand, Standard Bank. So I am exposed a little bit to banks through First Rand, actually.
Tell me, would you be, if you had cash in your portfolio now, which you've told us all to keep for a while, should we keep that in cash now or would you buy something else while things are up and down like this?
I haven't found anything that is an absolute slam dunk at the moment. You know, there's a few small shares. There's the one you asked me about a while ago, actually, which I've been looking at, Santova.
Mm-hmm.
It's a logistics business. And why we like it now all of a sudden is because a lot of their revenue they've managed to hedge out. So a lot of the revenue now is from offshore, and they've got this really great system, software system called Oscar. And they seem to be getting it right in terms of being able to put on the table a nice global offering. It's a logistics business. Will I be buying it right now? So I'm not sure I'd be buying it into my portfolios because it's a really small cap stock. So it's a real kind of volatility, small caps. They always make me very nervous in this environment.
All right.
And of course, CAP, which is also a logistics business in South Africa, they also reported yesterday. And the numbers weren't very exciting, so I'm gonna wait a while, you know, before I make an absolute call on something.
All right. Is there anything that you need to sell off at the moment? Is there anything that you're looking at going, got to get rid of this soon?
I'm looking at Zeda. I'm very concerned about it because on Friday, Pioneer released their results, and it was better than expected, but not great. So turnover increased by 8%. But Gareth, I spoke about this yesterday to Ben. I was telling him that the read-through for it was so bad. Because maize is under so much pressure, well, maize, the price of maize has spiked, and so it's a huge input cost into their business. And the reason I'm looking at selling off Zeta is because a very large portion of Zeta's holdings is in Pioneer Foods.
Mm.
Pioneer's read-through, basically, they were saying that from August 2015 last year to possibly sometime this year in the next couple of months, the price of maize is going to increase by 80 to 90%. The problem, so many problems with that. First of all, I don't think you can pass that price shock onto the consumer. Sure. So there's no way you can increase a loaf of bread by 90%.
Right.
Which means that Pioneer is going to have to absorb it. Sarah Shaw is actually going to a lunch with Zeta management tomorrow, and then we really are thinking about what we want to do with the stock. It's had such a nice run, though. Yesterday it was up 6%. The day before it was up 3 or 4%. So I am concerned about these consumer stocks. I really am, but I'm not, you know, I'm staying where I am at the moment.
All right. So basically just hold on to your hat and let's hope that the ride continues in an upsurge.
Exactly. Okay. I think we should see another little bounce today. I see Asia's kind of up 2 or 3%. Yesterday, the Nikkei, the Japanese index, closed over 7%. That I have not seen. That's a market that hardly moves, to be honest.
Wow.
I think investors are betting.
Is there a knock-on effect to us from things like that?
I hope so. But US was closed yesterday, so they'll open up this afternoon. We'll see what happens. But I think kind of that confidence that investors put into Asia and South Africa and Europe as they did yesterday, hopefully will filter through to the US when they open today. So we should see another day of green day. Call it that.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you, Anthea. Is there anything else you'd like to throw in?
No, nothing on the stock side. I see Zuma released his report over the weekend. I don't know if Mobali saw this. I know she's watching it. He commissioned it in 2010, mm-hmm. and basically the report suggested that government had to list or partially sell off some of these state-owned enterprises. I don't know about this.
That's unlikely to happen, right?
But he commissioned the report, and the report suggested it, so
right.
I don't know.
Can I ask you about something quickly?
Go on.
I got an email from a Nigerian astronaut who's floating around in space who needs me to give him money.
Absolutely. Send him all your bank details. Send him your ID number.
Well, let me read this to you. Major Tunde... Major Tunde is currently lost in space after journeying to the secret Soviet military space station Salyut 8T in 1989. He's been there ever since. The story recently came tonight when Tunde's understandably concerned friends emailed the guys at Anorak. Their plea to bring him home is a heartbreaking one. He needs $3 million.
Why do you sound so unconvinced, Gareth?
No, I'm really worried about Dr. Tunde. Listen, here it is. The email reads... I am Dr. Bakare Tunde, the cousin of a Nigerian astronaut, Air Force Major Abacha Tunde. He was the first African in space when he made a secret flight to the Salyut 6 space station in 1979. He was on a later Soviet space flight, Soyuz T-16Z, to the secret Soviet military space station Salyut 8T in 1989. He was stranded there in 1990 when the Soviet Union was dissolved. His other Soviet crew members returned to Earth, but his place was taken up by return cargo. There have been occasional Progress supply flights to keep him going. He's in good humor, but he wants to come home. In the 14 years since he's been on the station, he's accumulated flight pay and interest amounting to almost $15 million US dollars. This is held in a trust at the Lagos National Savings and Trust Association. If we can obtain access to this money, we can place a down payment with the Russian aerospace authorities for a Soyuz return flight. I'm told this will cost $3 million US dollars. In order to access this, we need your assistance. What do you think, Anthea? Good investment opportunity?
I think we should try and bring back our fellow African from space.
I don't know, Anthea. I think we should sympathize, but stress that we're in very tough economic times. Will 100 rand do for now?
Yes, exactly.
Damn.
Well, yeah, there you go. $10 or something.
Oh, it's not going well for him. All right.
Okay, guys.
We'll have to lay off of him for a while, but there we go. As soon as we have extra cash lying around, we'll help.
There you go. That's
Thank
fair.
You. Thank you, Anthea. We'll speak to you later.
Tomorrow.
Good stuff. Anthea Gardner with the money markets, the money shot every morning at about this time. Helpful, useful, very, very practical information. Things that you should invest in, things you shouldn't, what you should do with cash, when you should buy Forex. I mean, all the questions have been answered, right? Is there anything we've left out? Just every day there's nothing left out.
Exactly. Just nailed it every time.
All right. When we come back, Mubs has got some news for us. We're going to check in on Griff a bit later on. He's got a story that will make the hair on the back of your neck stand up. Oh, yes. We've got games and fun and all kinds of stuff today. Flax, what was the other thing we were doing? Because I remember you saying that we had someone coming in. What have I forgotten?
Jared Olin.
Oh, Jared Olin. We're going to talk TV. First episode of The Walking Dead, the new season last night.
Plus, we had a little kind of discussion yesterday which needs to be cleaned up.
Update me.
If you make a documentary series about someone, do you have to have consent from that person? And then do you make money and then pay that person? Do they have rights in your production?
Did you hear they're making an Oscar Pistorius
movie? That's what brought it up. Okay. So we want to know.
Got you.
Did they have to ask Oscar? Did Reva's parents have to get involved here? We want to know.
I just want to know if Mubs has got the role of Reva. Because that's what I heard you were going for.
I think that would be a difficult role to pull off.
But you just have to be killed.
I kind of also need to be a white blonde woman.
Really? Is that essential to the plot?
Yeah, just kind of.
All right, when we come back, we'll have that and more. It's always exciting stuff going on here. CliffCentral.com on a Tuesday morning. And I don't know about you, but I can definitely feel like things are getting a little cooler. Mm-hmm. I don't want to jinx anything.
A little bit darker.
A little bit darker, a little bit cooler. March is just around the corner. You know what I'm talking about. CliffCentral.com.